Dear Heavenly Father, as we go into your word this morning, Lord, we come with reverence. We come humbling ourselves, confessing our sins, receiving cleansing. We come under the covering of our fathers, under the Lordship of Jesus, the Shepherd and the Bishop of our souls. And we look to you for fresh mercy. Lord, it is your word. And so we ask that, Lord, you will grant us fresh mercy and unction, so that, Lord, this word will flow out of me like a stream of living water. Lord, let it bring light. Let it bring, Lord, revelation, strength. Let it bring a breaking of yokes, O God, so that as your word goes forth, Lord, our wills will be transformed, made more submissive to your will. Our minds will be further illuminated with the light that comes from the Holy Spirit. Our emotions will be further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, so that we will be transformed to a higher degree of glory in the name of Jesus. I pray that as your word comes forth, Lord, let it also, that same anointing, let it be received with that same anointing in the ears and the hearts of my brethren in the name of Jesus. That Father, Lord, you will accomplish all that is in your heart through the ministration of the word in this morning in the name of Jesus. I ask, O God, that as your word goes forth on the covering, Lord, let blind eyes be open. Let deaf ears be unstopped. Let the lame leap as a hart. Give us power to be doers of the things that we hear, and not hearers only in the name of Jesus. I ask for mercy to be faithful to redeem the time. Help me to speak not my own words, but Lord, your own words, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of this word things new and old. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'd like to welcome you once again to service. And amen. I pray that this word will be a word of blessing to all of us, but particularly to you, ma and sir. Amen. In our last lesson in the book of 1 Thessalonians, we were looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 5 to 8. And we saw in that last lesson that God wants us, you say, the Bible talks about the know-how to possess our vessel in sanctification and in honor. So there is the wisdom to possess our vessels in sanctification. And we saw that wisdom is to use the blood, the word, and the spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, to cleanse the sin nature, you know, from our souls and from our bodies, so that the nature of God, the life and the power of God, will replace that sin nature in our souls and our bodies, and so we become more holy, even as God is holy. And we saw that that's what sanctification is. And this is something that God wants us to be practicing. We saw that there's an urgency in the Spirit for us to sanctify ourselves, you know, so that we can walk in the holiness that God has ordained for us to walk in. And we saw that as the apostle said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, he says he wants us to increase and abound. That phrase kept, it was consistent, increase and abound, increase and abound. And we saw that God wants us, know, to abound in holiness, because there is abounding iniquity coming from the outside against our souls. Amen. But God wants abounding holiness, abounding love, to abound in our souls and members on the inside, so that we push back and dominate that iniquity by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the will of God for us. Amen. And we said that when we do this, it empowers us to walk, to obey spiritual law, which is the law of divine love, really. It empowers us to walk in divine love and to keep moral law. And we saw that in keeping moral law, you don't overstep boundaries. And that there are boundaries in all relationships, particularly relationships with the opposite sex or things of a sexual nature. There are boundaries that need to be kept. And we saw that there are boundaries that we keep in our thoughts. There are boundaries we should not cross in our thoughts. There are boundaries we should not cross in the images we allow to remain in our minds. There are boundaries we should not cross in the emotions we permit. There are boundaries we should not cross in action. So it's thoughts, images in your mind, you know, actions that we carry out, and of course, feelings. We make sure that we keep those things in check by the power of abounding holiness on the inside. And we see that those, those who, we said that last night, those who overstep these boundaries are defiling God's temple. Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We saw that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that we are the temple of the living God. So every thought you think, you must ask yourself, it doesn't belong to you. The temple belongs to God. And so you have no right to think your own thoughts. You must think what glorifies Him. You must think what honors Him. You must allow images that honor Him. If any image comes that doesn't honor Him, you pull it down. So, because the temple of God is holy. And we must maintain and preserve that holiness. We saw that. And you know, God is the, Bible says, God is the avenger of all such. So it means that if you don't keep it holy, then you are going to answer to God. We will keep it holy in Jesus' name. Amen. But we saw that God is the avenger. And we see examples. We saw an example last week in David. You know, when David, in 2 Samuel 11, we're not turning there. You know, when he stepped over the boundary. He saw a woman having a bath. And, you know, and he, you know, already that was, that he should have turned. That was the boundary. And he kept looking. And then he asked, he sent for her. Then he said it was somebody's wife. That's another boundary. He went over several boundaries. So the boundary is inside. Once you cross the boundaries inside, you're going to play it out outside. So there's no point trying to stay away from it on the outside. The key is to walk on the inside. Amen. So we saw that, and that's the will of God. We also see, if you notice in Genesis 12:17, God appeared to Pharaoh. When Pharaoh took Sarah, you know, when he came out of all of the Chaldees, Pharaoh took Sarah. God, Bible says, God plagued Sarah's house with curses. He had to inquire, and he had to call him and say, why didn't you tell me? Who told him? God the Avenger. When God appeared to Abimelech, said, you are a dead man. God the Avenger. So this is the key. You know, well, no, you're not. It wasn't Uriah that David did anything against. It was God. And God took it personal. So the key is, we are dealing with God. So don't get into this false sense of security that Satan gives us and says nobody knows about it. No, 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 no. God knows about it. And that's the most important thing. Amen? And we said that we overcome these sins by confessing our sins, forsaking our wicked ways, wicked habits, daily prayer in the Spirit, hiding the Word of God in our hearts so we will not sin against God. And doing all this with sincerity, so that the Holy Spirit can lead us into agape love in God's presence. And in that presence, we find fulfillment, we find satisfaction, we find peace. And so every temptation is blunted. The arrow of temptation is blunted because your soul is full. You are satisfied with the presence of God. Amen. Let's look at Proverbs 27, verse 7. Just go over that one last scripture. It's very important. Let's read it together. I said, the full soul loatheth and honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. So the key is, let your soul be full in God's presence. Amen. Full of contentment in God's presence, full of the peace of His presence, the satisfaction and the joy that is in His presence, and then you have no need of spoil. Amen. That's the will of God for us, okay? So a lot of these things are at the thought level. And as Jesus escaped, we also will escape in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we now begin our lesson for today. We'll begin in verse 9. And we'll see how far God takes us. Let's read verse 9 to verse 13. Let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 to 13. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Next verse. And indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you what? Increase more and more. He keeps going over this. Next verse. And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Next verse. That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. Next verse. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Let's see how the Lord helps us this morning. Amen. All right, we'll go back to verse 9 and 10. Now we see here that the Apostle Paul is acknowledging the fact that the brethren have been taught by God. So you are taught of God to love one another. So they are already walking in love. They are practicing love to a certain degree. However, the Spirit of God, through Paul, is emphasizing that they increase more and more. The question is, why? Why is he asking them to increase more and more? Well, there are a few reasons, and we'll look at them this morning. The first one is agape love keeps us in the secret place of the Most High and is the sure defense against persecution. You remember that this Thessalonian brethren was a church. This church was born in persecution. And at the point that the persecution was, it was so severe that Paul had to be taken out of Thessalonica. And the brethren were there alone. That's why he wrote this letter. So we see that they were a church born in persecution. But in the midst of every persecution, there's a secret place. And that secret place, you know, is the place of divine love. So the more you increase in love, the more you keep yourself in God's presence. Let's look at Psalm 91, verse 1. It's very important we understand. Say, because he has set his love... Verse 1. I asked for verse 1. You're going ahead of me. That's good. All right. Let's read it together. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall what? Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. No matter what situation or circumstance you are in, you are in God, under God's shadow. Amen. Next verse. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Amen. Now we jump to verse 14, like he was showing us earlier on. Verse 14. It says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. God doesn't want us in the place of persecution. No, there's a tendency in the place of persecution, you know, to react. You know, under pressure, you know, to react to the situation, react to the people. He's saying, no, you need to stay in love. Increase more and more. Exercise more love. That's what he's talking about. And the key here is important, you know, because love, as defined by our fathers, you know, over the years, is discerning by divine wisdom, desiring by divine compassion, and doing by divine power what God will do in every situation. So really, it's important for us to understand what is important in each situation. It's very key. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. Let's read it together. Give it to me, Philippians chapter 1, 9 to 11. Give it to me in the Message Bible. I like this rendition. It brings out the point God is trying to get across. Thank you. All right, let's read it together. So this is my prayer, that your love will what? Flourish, and that you will not only love much, but well. Learn to love appropriately. You need to use your head and test your feelings. Next verse. So that your love is what? Sincere and intelligent, not sentimental gush, not emotional. Live a lover's life. Circumspect and exemplary, a life Jesus will be proud of. Next verse. Amen. Bountiful in fruit from the soul, making Jesus Christ attractive to all, getting everyone involved in the glory and the... That's, so, you know what? In under pressure of persecution, God wants to attract people to God. He wants to attract people to himself through you. Our reaction is key. It's so important. And that's why he says that we must increase and abound. Give it to me in just the verse 9 in the Amplified. You can see a particular point that he wants to bring out in the Amplified. Thank you. Now, concerning brotherly love, you haven't learned anyone right, for you have been personally taught by God to love one another and have an unselfish concern for others. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 in the Amplified. Thank you. Thank you. Quickly, yeah. And this I pray, that your love may abound more and more, displaying itself with greater depth in real knowledge and practical insight. It's very important. Next verse. that you may learn to recognize and treasure what is excellent, identifying the best and distinguishing moral differences that may be pure and blameless unto the day of Christ, actually living lives that lead others away from sin. Our lives are a light that are supposed to light up our environment and lead others away from sin. But we need revelation knowledge. Amen. And it's very important that we get that. You know, so if you look at an example, just for an example, you know, when Jesus was anointed by the woman with the alabaster box, the people around him, even some disciples, were saying, why did they do this? This is a waste. The Bible says in Matthew 26, verse 10, Jesus said, and when Jesus understood it. So it meant that Jesus didn't look at it at face value. He had to hear what the Father was saying. There's a prayer we pray on Good Morning Jesus every morning. Mommy makes us say it together. He says, in his light, we see light. Because light is the principal part of love. Wisdom is the principal part of love. And without light, you won't understand what is important. You won't approve what is excellent. You will not be sincere and without offense. You will find out that you will compromise, which is insincerity, or you will get offended. Because you don't have light. You don't see what God is saying. Example number two. Anna, when she was praying for her son, prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and was trusting God until God gave her light and said, you know what? No, if you give this boy to me, and he said, I will give it to you. Light. And know how it happened? She got, not only did she bring forth Samuel, she brought forth sons and daughters. See, every persecution, there is a light, there is a way of escape. And wisdom is the principal thing. Amen? Very important, okay? So we see that. So we need, our love needs to increase and abound in knowledge, in all judgment, in all things. It's extremely important, okay? The next thing is that divine love, as we increase in divine love, it takes us, really, we grow in love. That's the word, you know? It takes us into the fullness of our destiny. Ephesians 3:19, talking about comprehending, giving Ephesians 3:19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that it might be what? Filled with all the fullness of God. There is a length and a breadth and a depth and a height. There are levels of love. Amen. And the Bible talks about in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 10, where it talks about the fact that we're perfect, established, dominion perfection, cleansing perfection, manifesting perfection, and permanent perfection. You walk in, there are levels, but walk in love. But there is room for more. There is room to grow in more. And it begins with having more light. Amen. We also see that as you walk in divine love, you know, you are able to turn around every attack, every stumbling block that Satan brought. You make it a stepping stone in Jesus' name. It's by wisdom, amen, and by the love of God that is in that wisdom. So you walk in divine love. We see a very good example here, you know, in David, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 11 and 12, where we see David, the Amalekites had come and visited Ziklag and taken away their wives and their children, and men, grown men were crying. And everybody wanted to stone him, and everybody was blaming him, and everything. And, you know, they were, and the Bible says David encouraged him. He went to God, and God spoke to him and gave him light and encouraged him and said, and David said, should I pursue? He said, pursue. You will overtake and you will recover all. And David went after them. But look at the importance of love. Verse 11 and 12. And they found an Egyptian in the field. I'm not here. I can't hear you. You're not reading with me. And brought him to David and gave him what? And he did. And they made him drink water. Next verse. And they gave him a piece of cake and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. This act of love that David did was instrumental in him finding the Amalekites. He didn't turn aside to walk in divine love. It looked like an aside, but it was actually the way of his escape. This man was a helper of his destiny May we not miss the help out of our destiny in Jesus' name. Amen. No, you, when you walk in love, God connects you with the helpers of your destiny. What are you going through, brethren? In your home, with your children, at work, in your circumstances, in your business. Walk in love. That's what God is saying. Don't stop walking in love. Don't let your love go weak. Get in the place of prayer. Get in the place of the word. Keep your attitude right. And you know what? You will keep growing and you keep having light. And that light, God will show you light in his light. And you will find the way of escape in Jesus' name. All right, so we see that that's very important, okay? And we walk in love in three dimensions. We walk in love towards God. We walk in love towards brethren. We walk in love towards people that are not Christians. All three levels we must fulfill. Well, how do you walk in love towards God? You must trust him. Judge him faithful. Mommy has taught us that over and over again. Keep telling us every day. Keep judging. God is not the problem. God is the solution. Amen. He's the solution. Trust him for who he is. Trust his character. Trust him no matter what you're going through. No, look at Romans 8, that's 1:35. Very quickly, Romans 8. So you can understand the kind of God that we serve. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? I don't know what you're going through. If God be for us, and he is, who can be against us? Next verse. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also? So the key here is God, apart from delivering you, God wants to give you more of Christ. He wants to give you with him also freely give us all things. Next verse. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died? Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for you and I. What are you going through? God is asking you. Next. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Say no. Or distress? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? Next verse. As it is written, that's not our portion. Jump to the next verse. Amen. Nay. I can't hear you. Nay. In all these things, we are more than through him that loved us. Trust God. You have to, that attitude is an attitude. It has to be there. All right? The next one is love towards brethren. Very important. There are different kinds of brethren. Amen. You yourself, you are a special kind of brother. Amen. You are a special kind of sister. Amen. So as you are pointing towards, as your thumb is pointing back to you. Amen. So, but look at what the Bible says. Colossians 3:12-14. What does the Bible tell us to do? Brethren, we are doing it because of God. You must do it with understanding. And I know approve what says what is, the Amplified says, you sense what is vital. Love is vital. Put on therefore. Let's read together. Put on therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another. And what? And what? Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Love. Forgive. Forbear. Forbear. They are changing. Your love is not in vain. No, that there is light and power flowing out from your forbearance. It's just that it's not perceptible. But this way we need to have revelation, understanding, and not judge on the outside. Amen. And then, of course, we need to show mercy towards people that are not born again. Look at Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 21 to 22, I beg your pardon. To the weak. Okay, verse 21. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. Next verse. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. We walk in love. And as you walk in love, you will see, as the aim here is to be a vessel of life. a vessel of Zoe to as many people God brings around you, close to Christ, in spite of the inconvenience and humiliation you are going through. So the focus is no longer you. It's not on you and what you're going through. It's now on God and what is the will of God. Amen? So death works in us, but life works in others. That's the will of God. So we pray. We pray for them. We pray for our brethren. We pray for the unbelievers, you know, in the office, everywhere. You know, you pray for people and just pray God's will. Don't heap curses on them. Just pray in the Spirit. And let God do what he wants to do. And he will turn around for a testimony in Jesus' name. We see Apostle Paul as an example in Acts chapter 16. Very quickly, we'll just look at it. We won't waste too much time. Talking about Paul and Silas. They were flogged publicly. Their clothes were torn. And they were flogged. Now imagine an apostle. You know, real apostle. Not fly by night. Real apostle. No. A man who knows his worth and his caliber. A lawyer by profession. So he's not a mean person. His clothes were torn. He was flogged publicly. And the people were looking at him. You know, and apart from that, they now took him to jail and tied his feet in the stocks. You know, and they asked the jailer and said, take care of him. And he too took him to the inner sanctuary of the jail and chained him on his feet and left him there in the dark. They didn't have light in those days. It was dark, dingy, and damp in that place. And he had just been flogged. But what did the apostle do? He didn't stay there. Light. So he forgave. He let it go. He now went back to prayer. And Bible says, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. And then there was what? An earthquake. Now, that meant Bible says, everyone's bands were loose. That was the time to now say, hold that man. Oh yeah, maybe you beat all of us. Beat him! That was the time to get his pound of flesh. It was time for all of them to be free and deal with them and let them know that what you are defiling a man of God. You're not even afraid. What did he do? Look at verse 27. Acts 16. And the keeper of the prison awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. Next verse. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm. We're all here. This is a different spirit, brethren. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came in trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And they brought him out and said, sirs, what must I do? He just knew that God had visited this place. He said, what must I do to be saved? Paul's life, Paul's love spoke volumes to this man. Next verse. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Next verse. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. Next verse. And he took them the same hour of night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Next verse. And when he had brought them to his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. These were the people God sent him to. God sent him to the jailer and his family. And he didn't miss it by walking in love. That's the key, brethren. Okay. So the key is here, God has your back. Tell your neighbor, God has my back. God's not going to leave you alone. So whatever you're going through, understand it and just keep pressing on in light and in love. Amen. Now, verse 11. And that you study to be quiet, to do your own business, to work with your own hands as he commanded you. Verse 12. That you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. Now, in the light of the above, God is talking about love, increasing and abounding in love. He now begins to give practical, specific practical instructions to the brethren. And by extension to all of us. That we must learn to be quiet, to work rather than be idle, and to mind our own business. So that our lives will command the respect of unbelievers. Gossiping doesn't command the respect of unbelievers. Amen. It doesn't. There is a conduct. There is an attitude that commands the respect of unbelievers. Look at the attitude. First Peter chapter 3, verse 4. This is the attitude. Let's read together. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. That's the ornament. Just give him verse 4. Give it to me in the Message Bible, this verse. In the Message Bible. Yes. But your inner disposition, that inner disposition must come to the outside. Amen. It's that disposition that Paul said, we are here, don't kill yourself. That your inner disposition, cultivate inner beauty, the gentle, gracious kind that God delights in. But that's why I said study. Study is something you cultivate. You know, you cultivate, you put effort into learning how to be like this. Nobody's born like this. All of us have to grow and learn and practice and cultivate this beauty. It's the beauty that God delights in. Amen. And the attitude that attracts people to us. God used that attitude to attract people to us. But when you know, when you are loud and you are arrogant and you are proud, you first of all, God knows the proud. God moves the proud are far off. You know, and then you drive people away. So you have to have a meek. It's something we must work on. And I'm speaking to myself as well. We must work on it in Jesus' name. The second thing we need to work on is orderly conduct. Then, you know, our lives must speak of order. Look at creation. There is order in creation. There is order. You know, if you look at the heavens, there is order. You know, if you look at the electron in metals, there is order. There's a nucleus and there are concentric rings of electrons, depending on the metal you're talking about. There is order. Order always speaks of God. You know, and disorder, you know, always speaks of the devil. Lawlessness. So anytime people see order, you know, it speaks of God. Orderliness reflects God. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians verses 6 to 12. Let's read it together. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you what? Withdraw yourselves from every brother that does what? Walketh how? Disorderly, that they're not obedient to the instructions that they have been given, and not after the tradition which he has received of us. Next verse. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Next verse. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Next verse. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. He says something very deliberate here. Next verse. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not walk, neither should he eat. Next verse. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly. They don't go to work. So they don't know what to do with their time. But are what? Busybodies. Amebo. Next verse. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord just that with quietness they walk and eat their own bread. What's he saying? He's saying that there is an order. You must have a daily routine of work that allows you to use your time profitably. Otherwise, you have so much free time, you misuse it. That's what he's saying. You know, if you don't have a daily routine, Satan hijacks your time. Psalm 119 verse 133 says, order my steps in your word. Let not iniquity have dominion. Verse 133. Let not iniquity have dominion. So iniquity can have dominion if your steps are not ordered. So there has to be order in our lives. We'll come back to that. No. The next thing is that here is talking about the fact that they must work. Commands us to work. Brethren, we need to work. It's a command. Jesus worked. He was a carpenter. Paul worked. He was a tent maker. Pastor Olivia and Mommy Sarah work. They pray. You don't want to know how they work. Those of you that know how they work, you know what I'm talking about. We walk until the work stops. There is no start, there is no stop until the work is done. There's no sleeping. If we're sleeping, mommy will say, I'm here, oh, and I'm not sleeping. Well, if mommy says, let us stay with, I will stay with you. Mommy, no, you should go. No, this stress is too much. We'll do it, take care of it. Why? Because there's the way mom does her work. You know, she doesn't sleep. I don't know how she does it. So when she's not sleeping, where is sleep coming from? Well, mom, what's your own that you're doing with sleep? That's how to work. Wholeheartedly, diligently, holding nothing back. Work. That's how the work. Amen. And we give God the glory. And that's the truth. And I know it challenges you and I. So even when they're not there, I'll tell myself, if mommy was there, she would say she's an unprofitable servant. You're an unprofitable servant. Go the extra mile. That's how to do it. You have to go the extra mile. Because it's like mommy always says, it's a privilege to work. It's a privilege to be busy. It's a privilege. If God just counting you worthy, if you don't do it, there are other people that God will put there, and guess what? They'll do it better than you. So you have to stay humble. Tell yourself, be eating humble pie. Don't be telling yourself, oh God, you are the best at this. So I'm not the best. So other people are God's you. When they told Jesus, a good master, he said, only God is good. You return it back to the sender. When people are trying to pump you up, send it back. I'm not working as much as everybody else. Only you are working. See how they are using your head. They are not using your head. It's a privilege for you to work. It's very important, but so we can be faithful workers. Because if you are working and you are grumbling, you are unfaithful. Because guess what? As you will see, we're not serving man. We are serving God. And he sees the inner things in the heart, apart from the outer things that you are doing. It's very important. So you must understand the kind of person you are serving. You know? So look at Titus 3:14. He says, give it to me in the Amplified. Titus 3:14. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Titus 3:14, Amplified. In Jesus' name, you have life. Okay, let's read together. Our people, this God, this is the apostle talking. How many people are God's people? Let me see your hand. Okay. Our people, let's read together. Our people must learn to do good deeds to meet necessary demands, whatever the occasion may require, so that they will not be unproductive. We have to work. A life of just lazing and sleazing is not the will of God. It's against the Bible. All right, now why do we need to work? We work so we can meet our needs. He said it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 12. So we can meet our needs. We can contribute constructively to society. We can also meet different kinds of people. Be a blessing to some and be blessed by some. There are some that will stretch you to your next level. Yes, so there are some sandpaper that you have to meet in your workplace. They are waiting for you. They are helpers of your destiny. Amen. They will take you to the next level. They will stretch you to your promotion level. That's why God sent them there. So you will see how that they are helping you. So you will clap for them. Or wherever they are. It is critical for you to understand that they are sent there to help you. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Colossians 3:22. Say, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with what? Give it to me in the Amplified. No, give it to me in Message Bible. Message, quickly. As men, okay. Servants, do what you are told by your earthly masters. And don't just do the what? Minimum that will get you by. Do your best. Next verse. Walk from the heart for your real master. Everybody say real master. So there is a physical master, and then there's a real master for God. Next verse. Confident that you will get paid in full when you come into your inheritance. So he's tied your attitude and quality of work to your destiny. He's tied it to our destiny. So you are saying you are working. You are in full-time ministry. that place where you are working. You are in full-time ministry. No, because God's going to use what you are doing there to lead you into your full inheritance. Do it with that seriousness. That's what he's telling you. Keep in mind always that the ultimate master you are serving is who? And don't get deceived by the one you are looking at. Next verse, 25. The sullen servant who does shoddy work will be held responsible. Being Christian does not cover up for bad work. You can't say I'm good. Your work must be excellent. If they correct you, take it with humility. Because you're not supposed to make any mistakes. You're supposed to be blameless. Yes, blameless. Esteem others as better than yourself. Check your attitude and work on those things, brethren. You know, it's very important that so seeking bribe in your office is not Christian. It's disorderly. Gisting endlessly at the expense of your time in the office is what? Disorderly. All right? Watching movies on your laptop at work. Hey. Is what? Arriving late to work is what? Being active on social media while you are at work is what? And take because I will text late. Let me just quickly. You text before you go. Your Insta, Snapchat, WhatsApp. After 3 hours, that's disorderly. That's disorderly. You are using somebody else's time, and your master is looking at you. We repent in Jesus' name. God will have mercy on us. So what's the key here, brethren? The key is to tithe our time. Tithe your time. Time is the resource. Once it goes, it doesn't come back again. So you have to use it very wisely. I have to use it very wisely. That's very important. So what do? We tithe our time. That's 2.4 hours, about 2.5 hours every day. That's just tithe. Depending on your level where you are, I leave it to everybody's conscience. Amen. Depending on the level where you are, you're supposed to be doing tithe and offering. But let's just talk about tithe, okay? So 2.4 hours. So at least you do good morning, Jesus, 1 hour in the morning. Then you do your confessions, you do your Bible reading, and that 30 minutes. Then you get ready for work. Amen. And when you get to work, you get there on time. You serve diligently with a clean attitude. Now you also watch and pray. It's very important. Look at First Titus chapter 2, verse 9. Okay? Titus 2, 9. Your attitude at work is very important. He says, yes. Yes, it says, exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well. To please them how? Well. In some things. Only things that pertain to work. All things. Not answering again. But, sir, excuse me, sir. Bible says, shut up. Not answering again. Keep quiet. And let the correction sink in. Find out what God is saying about what the man said. It's not about what the man said alone. He may not know the full picture. But what God is saying through what the man said. That's what you really need. To go to your next level. Amen. It's very important. Alright. So God is talking to us today about the way we work. So we serve with a clean attitude. And we commune with the Holy Spirit while we work all during the day. So you don't use it as an example. Why is it important? Because when you are at work and you are serving faithfully, God will give you favor. Proverbs 11 says, he that diligently seeketh good procures what? Favor. It was the same favor that raised Joseph. Now you read Joseph's story, but it was the way he worked. It was this, it was his attitude, it was his orderly conduct that was it ministered to people around him. So he generated favor. So Potiphar gave him more and more. And the Potiphar gave him his whole house. But Joseph knew that it wasn't Potiphar he was serving, it was God. So when Potiphar's wife came to him and said, how can I do this thing against God? It's my master. So he ran away and threw off his clothes and ran away. And he didn't even say, this is the truth though. He didn't open his mouth. Not answering again. And he led him to the next phase of his life. Next phase of his destiny, the prison. To you and I, he's going down. But to God, he's going up. Very important that he was going up. And was going up. You know, and when he got into the prison, it's amazing to me. You know, brethren, walking in love, No, all this obeying the word is so critical. It's so critical because if you leave any one thing out, then you hinder God. We limit God from being able to do what God wants to do. All right. So, but the key is to have wisdom. See, there in the prison, in verse, I won't really turn there because of time. Genesis 40, verse 3-4, the Bible says that they handed the butler and the baker over to the head of the prison, and the head of the prison said, "Look, give them, put them under Joseph." They were the helpers of his destiny. We put them under Joseph. It was that connection, his favor from God. Is God walking through the people that are in authority over you? And he set those people under him. And then the day they were sad and all that, he asked them what happened. Said they dreamed, interpreted them. You know the rest of the story. You know, the dreams came to pass. And then the man forgot him for 2 years. But one day the man remembered, because Pharaoh dreamed the dream. But the key we're talking about is this, that in your workplace, it was in that workplace too, he went from prisoner straight up, past Potiphar, went up to prime minister, and became Potiphar's boss. Favor translated the situation in an instant because of his attitude at work. Brethren, let us take the work we do very seriously. Don't criticize your boss in your heart. Don't do it in your heart. God sees it. If you do it, repent. Quickly repent and don't go back to it. Make it a no-go area. Don't cross that boundary so that God can raise you up as he wants to do in this set time of favor. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us bow our heads as we pray. We give God the glory. Thank you, Father. Let's talk to God. Let's repent. The things God has spoken to us. Use of your time as understanding what the will of the Lord is. Redeem the time. Let leisure have its place. God, work, your family, and then your leisure. Ordered lives, ordered conduct. We need light from God. Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of our darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us, set us free by the truth you now bring us, shine on us. raise our right hand in faith unto the Lord. Put our left hand on our heart. And pray from a heart of sincerity. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that you've sent to me today, showing me that it is your will for my love to increase and abound more and more in light, in love, in deeds of order and conduct through an attitude that is meek and quiet. Father, I ask for mercy. I turn away from my wicked ways. I recognize that I serve you, my real master, Christ. And so I serve you with singleness of heart, with the fear of God, with all of my heart. I do my best when I'm at work. I take correction with a meek and a lowly attitude. I honor in my heart all those in authority over me. And I practice love to God, to those in authority, to my brethren, to those that are outside, so that my life speaks. My life is a written epistle that men will read and will see you and come to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Say, in Jesus' name, you have life. Father, thank you for your mercies. Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace. Holy Spirit, thank you for your great love and help. In Jesus' name, amen.